Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I jumped ahead of Blog Talk there. Hey, sorry for the little delay. I thought it was dialed in. It was the strangest thing. And then all of a sudden I seen a drop down saying I was not. So thank you. Okay. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening on PGN. This is Deborah with you Tuesday evening. Today is the 24th of October. No, August. I'm here. I'm collecting my thoughts. I was actually reading and thinking of things on the Lord that I'm going to speak of tonight. And it's just like time just clicked away. So it's good to be here. Thank you so much for joining me and us, because it's collectively our faith that we bring before the Lord. And when two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. So I thank you, Father. We just dedicate this evening unto you, God. We dedicate your word, your presence, your spirit, your anointing, your gifts, God, your manifestations and revelations of your great and marvelous light to shine this evening, God. And we thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for shining on our hearts and our minds, Lord, and just unlocking things, illuminating your great truth, God, and setting us free in new ways, God, that cause us to truly bring glory to you and you alone, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, God, to free our soul from the things that we would try to manage in our own life, God, that we would allow you to do that, Father, all of those things, Lord, and that we could trust you fully trust you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so the Lord does bring us to different facets of his truth that cause us to trust him more. Okay, I got this. I have my little cove here, as I like to call it, a little bit different tonight. So why I share it, I have my computer just a little bit different. So, but the verse that came up this evening when I opened up my Bible Gateway, I thought was very appropriate. So I'm going to read that one, and I have it opened in the Amplified. But the other verses that I share tonight, our verse passage that I share, is going to be on the New King James. But this one here is Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2. It says, I love the Lord because he hears and continues to hear my voice and my supplications, my pleas, my cries, and my specific needs. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. And that's such a great verse for, like, just my testimony for every patriarch and matriarch I could think of, even in scripture, and what they did in calling upon the Lord, and even Jonah, you know, and those, even the Lord hearing me. Oh my goodness, I'm going to sneeze. I might have to mute you guys for a second if I do that, just so I don't want it. Okay. So even before, I'm going to talk about something here, but even before I was a Christian, there was things that, and it might even be part of your testimony as well, that there were things that I would say to God or say to the Lord, like, how could this be true? How could this be? But I was talking to God. And it was actually in my doubt and my, it was in my doubt. I wouldn't say it was unbelief, because I literally was talking to God, and I always believed that there was a God, and thank the good Lord that I had that upbringing, that there was a reverence for God, and that the acknowledgement that God exists. That's about as far as it went in the faith or any type of understanding, very traditional home upbringing in church, you know, even though we went every Sunday, we didn't really read from the Bible. It was just a passage book of different scriptures where they really esteemed and put all of the apostles and disciples up on a pedestal that it seemed unattainable. And until I actually came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I realized just how real they were and in the areas that I could identify with them. But truly, what Jesus did, I knew that that he died on the cross. But I did not have the saving knowledge. I didn't know what it meant that for me. There was that unveiling and truth that came to me. So I'm going to come back to that part in a minute. So thank you so much for joining us this evening. God bless you. Praise the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ for hearing our prayers and our cries and continuing to hear them and continuing to answer them. So I was reading this verse this week, and it's 2 Corinthians 4:2, and it really had me curious, but I felt the Holy Spirit on it, and actually even some of his anointing on this as I was let me read verse 1 because it starts with but, so that means the thing before it. So therefore, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, verse 2, therefore we have received mercy. As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Okay, so we each have a ministry, how we're going to minister to the Lord. And it is the offices. It's any way that you're serving him and his church, okay? As we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So we don't lose heart in our ministry because of the mercy of God. He's called us even before we could think to call on him. He called us because of his mercy. And so verse 2, and this is really where I want to highlight tonight, stay here as it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay, so two things I want to focus here on is the renouncing. Is this word renounce that Paul is using? This is only found in Scripture one time, this word renounce. And he's literally talking about since we have a ministry, because of the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we renounce the hidden things of shame, walking in craft and handling the word of God deceitfully. And I think that we've seen that, unfortunately, many of us have seen that in different pockets and in different realms, maybe like a little checkerboard going across maybe the charismatic church, okay? And or other, even other churches. So I don't want to just point out just one particular denomination because we've probably have seen this happen. Yes, we have seen it happen in other places, in other churches, and with God's people in ministry, even outside of the box, right? Outside of the four walls in ministry as well. So this word renounce in the Webster dictionary, it says formally declare one's abandonment, which literally is, right? So God says, if you, we want to do things publicly with Christ, right? We declare his name, we give a testimony, and we don't keep that hidden that Christ has put his light in us, that we speak of that formally on earth, and he will formally receive us when we get to heaven, right? And so there is a formal declaration of one's abandonment of the claim, right, or possession to what is ours, or, you know. And so in the Greek, when I looked up that word, it's to forbid. So to give up or forbid, to reject. So we're going to reject the shame and not walk in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of truth. And I believe this is coming to the body of Christ, manifestations of truth. And now this is a little bit different than actually revelation. It's somewhat similar. However, when these words are used in Scripture and it's different than revelation knowledge or spiritual wisdom, you know, like Paul talks about, and his words are very concise. His prayers are very concise, very rich, very concise, right? Definitely by the Holy Spirit. Like in Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, if you read some of those prayers, there's what I was thinking. However, this manifestations of truth, This is really only in scripture two or three times, okay? Three times it's used in scripture. The literal verbiage of manifestations of truth. Okay, so I'm going to come back to it. Now, revelation, the revelation, which we do use that word a lot, and it is, again, somewhat similar within this facet of diamond, I guess, if you will. But the revelation, revelation does contain divine truth, but it's actually inwardly, and then it can be shared publicly when we receive revelation. And there also can be somewhat of a breaker anointing on that sometimes when it's a word to come forth with that, okay? So it says commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So if we're going to use the word of God, handle the word of God deceitfully for our own gain or self-seeking, self-centeredness, which those being my self-centeredness, your self-seeking, your self-centeredness, those oppose the Holy Spirit. Those are opposing works of the Holy Spirit. And so not only do we do it, so what I speak here, what anyone else speaks here, what you speak to your neighbor, your spouse, your children, you know, your coworkers, those that you're witnessing to and being a witness to intentionally and even unintentionally, really, you are responsible in some way for the conscience of what you're saying to man's conscience in the sight of God. God is going to hold you accountable for how you're affecting man's conscience by what you're speaking, specifically if you're walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully. Those are not going to go hand in hand. These manifestations of truth are this. Now here, this is what comes forth, this manifestation of truth. The other verses that were there was one in the, it's 1 Corinthians 12:7, which says this. This is the cross reference. Station of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Okay, so it's not just given for one to completely profit. We know that. Each is given to profit all. So each one is given so that they might profit all, the entire body of Christ. So each person in the body of Christ is there to profit everyone else that's there, everybody else that's there. And this can happen through the manifestations of truth. And it can be very powerful, okay? It can also be, this word manifestations, when looked up in the Greek, was expedition, expression, bestowment, okay? And an expedition is something that is a public display of works. And so bestowment, it too is an act of conferring an honor or presenting a gift. So bestowment, and this expression is an outward expression of a gift, a type of a gift that comes on you, okay? This manifestation of truth that comes forth, right? And then in the Old Testament, which I thought was unusual, the verse that came up, which was Leviticus 8:8. And it says, and he put the breastplate upon him, and also he put in the breastplate the U-R-I-M-O-O-M and the T-H-U-M-M-I-M, thir-bi-om, however, I'm not saying those properly in the Greek, but those two words. So they're talking about Moses here, but I thought, oh, this is interesting that this verse in the Old Testament is connected to this manifestations of truth when it is not, I don't see the word manifestations in this, like what are they drawing out of this? That is indicating this correlates to a manifestation of truth. Well, the U-R-I-M, I think that it looks like Urim, but U-R-I-M, U-R-I-M, literally means lights. Okay, that was in parentheses, lights, which they were stones kept in a pouch in the high priest's breastplate, used in determining God's decision in certain questions and issues. Okay, so the priest knew how to administer and how to take them. It wasn't something that was, I don't think it was within those 12 stones that we've seen. They were something personal that that the priest had as he would pray and intercede before the Lord, and that would give him manifestations of truth, okay? And then the T-H-U-M-M-I-M actually equals perfection, okay? Because that's literally how this is drawn out. You can look it up for yourself. And that's that, too, as well as stones provided for the means of achieving a sacred lot. And used, okay, achieving a sacred lot used with the other stone, the first stone that represents light. The will of God was revealed. So these two were working in conjunction with each other through the heart of the priest praying. And for the will of God was revealed. And that is also a reflection of a manifestation of truth, okay, which is light, perfection, and the will of God being revealed. That's how that's maybe a little different. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm losing my voice. So the high priest's breastplate, the emblem of complete truth, was an emblem of complete truth because of these stones, which were in these little pockets that they knew of, which was a gift, right? This was a gift. An honoring and presenting of a gift, and then the will of God is revealed. And that is as close as I can come to in describing what a manifestation of truth is. Now, if you recall, which you may, because many of you are faithful listeners here, have been here for a while, and we welcome anyone who's new. Of course, you don't have to be here a while to even grasp this. You may know this. This may be confirmation to you as well. But earlier in the year, in May, I looked it back up. I know I specifically spoke about the priesthood on May 25th of this past year, an earlier broadcast. So talking about one of the roles was they were going to restore first how we relate to God, and then we were going to be ready to do the work of the Lord, and there would become a corporate testimony, the Lord bringing forth a corporate testimony. And this very much has to do with even what I spoke with last week, which I didn't realize, but it really does. So the Lord is really doing something in the body of Christ and in his church. He is doing that. And even last night, I couldn't listen to all of what was happening and what was being shared, but I felt like knowing, because the Lord spoke this to me on Sunday, I think it was, and I was thinking, oh, last night, oh, this is like a form of a manifestation of truth that was coming forth as well last night. But however, okay, so the truth, when I looked up truth, let me just finish here because, and then go and wrap this back around into my testimony, which was the manifestation of truth coming forth as well, even many years ago. Well, oh, I'm sorry. And to go back to even relate to 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That has to do, then he starts talking about the gifts. Some have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, healing. So, okay, it's talking about all the different gifts. So the manifestations does have to do with the gifts as well. So it's a gift with light on it, a manifestation of truth, okay, which would be revealing of God's will. So when I looked up the word truth in this passage, in the Greek, it says, what is true in things, okay, hold on. And okay, a true notion of God, which are open to human reasoning, human reason without his supernatural intervention. The truth as taught in Christian religion, respecting God and the execution of his purposes through Christ, and respecting the duties of man, opposing alike to the superstitions of the Gentiles and the inventions of the Jews, because that's what they did back then. That's what they did in Ancient of Days, and the corporate and the corrupt opinions and precepts of false teachers that was taught all over in the New Testament, and the especially in even Colossians. Look at Colossians 1, Colossians 2, even among Christians, which there was false teachers. Okay, truth as a personal silence, which I really like that. truth as a personal essence, that candor of mind, which is free from affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, and deceit. Okay, so this is why it's very true. So any truth that's coming forth, or even, you know, men can say, hey, I received this revelation of, I don't even want to say because I'm going to step on some places that are going to be, do you remember back in the day, the gas stations, when you would pull in to the gas pump and you would pull in on that like cord and it go ding, 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 like I'm here, you know, come help me. Yeah, so I don't need to set any alarms up or any, but hey, listen, you're handling the word of God deceitfully and with craftiness, walking in craftiness in the word of God, that is not truth. Right there, that is not truth. And because the candor of mind, which is free from affection, pretense, stimulation, falsehood, and deceit. So it's not in the flesh at all. Truth is not in the flesh. How our faith can be energizing, and so is the word of God, right, and powerful and effective, okay, and we can have a, when our spirit and our faith, you know, get energized, there is an energy and different things that we can pick up on the spirit, but that's not controlling us. That's not what's leading us. Our flesh isn't leading us. It's the spirit. And we're responding to the spirit of God within us. And I was talking to someone yesterday. We were talking about this gentleman thought he had the gift of healing. And so he was saying, we were kind of talking about that. And then I said, oh, yes, sometimes when you pray for someone to be healed or however the Lord is, however the Lord uses you in that anointing or in that gift or even in that moment, just your willingness, like the Spirit of the Lord can come upon you and give you a word of knowledge or whatever. Maybe that's not your necessarily gift, but you can receive it because you are a servant of the Lord and the Lord maybe is one wanting to reach out and touch and heal, speak to the person in front of you to bring them closer to God. They know your faithfulness and that you'll respond and you'll be yielding as a servant of the Lord to follow through with that. And then the Lord broadens your perspective of who the Holy Spirit is, and it's amazing. It's incredibly enlightening. And but at times he might do that where, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you to do that certain thing, to accomplish that certain thing in the moment. It doesn't mean that you necessarily are a possessor of that gift. He used you within that gift because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, okay? Okay, so then he was talking about healing, and I was saying, yeah, like when the Lord does that, moves that kind of way, or even if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and moves in a different way, is that it feels like you have a front row seat to what is happening because he's using you as a vessel and he's flowing through you in a very powerful way. And it's, you know, you're faithful and it's incredible. And it's also humbling in some ways. You know, it's humbling that he invites us to his table to be used in such a way, but yet it is true. It is true. So at my testimony, part of my testimony of coming to the Lord. And some of you have heard this before, but I haven't shared this in quite some time. And I'm not going to go into the whole testimony. I just want to say, like when I grew up, my dad, he was kind of a rough kind of person. He really didn't soften up until his older ages, you know, until he was much older. And he did. I do believe he received the Lord and that he's in heaven, which is a whole nother testimony in and of itself. However, it's a little rough, little gruff, and he did drink a lot. Okay, so my dad drank a lot, and then sometimes he would fall asleep, he'd wake up, be a totally different person, you know, just very, I don't even know the right word to say. It was kind of like, just not and the nature of what God would call a father to do. Let me just say that. And so because of this, and the word says that the Lord, the law is written in our hearts. So even children know, like, when their parents are off and what they're truly, like, what they should be bringing to the table and when they're not bringing it to the table, like, the child knows sometimes before the parent does. And so so during my time, I was really growing up, I was angry with God that he would give me such a dad. Like, why was my dad? Like, so I would see my girlfriend's fathers. I had one who was, he was Irish and talked with, you know, the beautiful accent. And he always had a smile on his face. And I loved to hear him talk to us because of his accent, or to say good morning to us, and his smile and his joy. And it would just make me smile, and I would be so hopeful that this could be instilled in a father. And but I would say in the back of my mind, literally to God, I would say, how come my father can't be more like this? Or how come my dad has to be this, like the negative, you know? How come he can't be more, and then stay the positive, more joyful or more happy? You know, how come my dad has to be harsh, you know, or angry? Why does my dad have to drink? You know, I would say things like that when I would see different examples and different things, you know, and depending on what I was going through, I would either pick up on the negative or pick up on the positive, right? And kind of repeat that to God, you know, but not saying any of that out loud, never shared it with anybody, but it really was part of my testimony, and that I was, in some ways, running from God. Certainly internally, I was running from God. I was staying away from him, purposely keeping me at an arm's length away. Like, what was God thinking, putting me into this family? How could he do such a thing? Okay. So when I became saved, which I was introduced to through a mutual friend, a woman witnessed to me. I lived in the apartment. She lived in the condos. We would walk. She witnessed to me, brought me to church. I was very drawn by the music, always have been drawn by music. Even music, worship music too, is very fluid in me, which I've said before. We went, she invited us down to a Allen Park Civic Center, which is in Michigan. I was sitting in the very last row at the bottom. You know, the bleachers kind of went up. We were in the very last row on the bottom section. There was, I was having a, like I had this bump behind my left ear, and it was bothering me. And I had my glasses on. It even bothered me there. I was very young. I was 22 when I got saved. And I didn't want to tell anyone. I was actually quite fearful that it was, I was actually quite fearful that it was something serious, and I was concerned about it, and I really didn't want to hear it, and I was fearful, so it was totally an avoidance. And so when the man started at the front before the preacher came out, he started giving, you know, they did worship, and then they did kind of like a little intermediate thing between it. And he started giving words of knowledge for healing and things that he was calling out. Well, at, you know, I wasn't saved yet in a traditional home. And I said, I was doubting what he was saying. I was like, oh, those are so broad. Like, anybody could say that. You know, anyone could say smoking or a problem or whatever. That's so broad. Of course, with this many people, there's going to be so many there. But this is what I'm saying to God in my head. And then at one point he stopped and said, oh, well, there's somebody here and you have something behind your left ear. Well, at this point, it was as if God himself was taking his finger down and putting it at the top of my head and saying, like, it's you. You know, I'm speaking directly to you. And so I said a couple sentences to God in my head, and everything I was talking to the Lord, this man was answering. So lo and behold, I know there's a little more to that, but maybe I can take more time another time to walk through all of those. Anyways, I was saved. I was like, my knees were shaking. I completely received the Lord. I got up. I walked to the aisle. I remember as I was walking the aisle, because I sat at the very last row on the bottom, this compassion was just filling my heart as I was walking up. Other people that were coming, I was like helping usher them in. I mean, it was just all this. I think God was just miraculously changing my heart as I was walking to the altar and literally receiving him as I was receiving, you know, every step I was receiving him and his spirit was on me. And so when we got to the altar and we prayed and we got done praying, this was the first thing the Holy Spirit spoke to me, unbeknownst to me. I did not even know anything like this, okay? He said to me in a very clear voice, "You know that father you've always wanted?" And I thought, yeah. And he said, "I am he." That's exactly how he said it. "I am he." And I remember thinking, well, that's strange verbiage. That's a little weird. But I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant, that he was the answer and he was the father. Everything that I ever asked for in a father or was declaring in a father, only he could fulfill. Even if I had a really great dad, he could never live up to my expectations of what a father should be or ought to be. I mean, come on. Is that truth or yes? So I would sometimes share that testimony with other people and say, this is what the Lord said. And when I would repeat those words, "I am he," I remember at sometimes I was thinking like, I'm just repeating these words because that's literally what I heard. But it's strange verbiage. And sometimes I would correct it, like saying, "I am he," like he meant, like some people would say, "I am he," like they would repeat it and be like, inside, I'm like, I know, it's so weird verbiage. Well, it wasn't even until years later that I seen in a church I was sitting at in John 8:24 and 8:28, okay, friends, and sitting in church years later after I was saved. And sometimes I would just, then I would start to switch the story, not necessarily his words, but I would say, "He said he was my father," or like the understanding of what he meant. But then I would say, "But he literally said, 'I am he,' but you know, whatever, you know." And then I would just say, I know it's strange verbiage. But so I'm sitting in church and up on the screen that he's talking about, Jesus is talking about him going away, talking to his disciples, okay? And he says, like, "Where I'm going, you cannot come," you know? And so in verse 24, he says, "Therefore I say to you," and this is literally Jesus talking, "that you will die in your sins." So he's talking to the Jews and the Pharisees as well, okay? "If you do not believe that I am he, I am he." And as soon as the pastor read the words and I looked on the screen, "I am he," I was like, I didn't even know that was in the Bible. I had no idea it literally was in scripture. So verse 28, so then it gets repeated a second time. And it says in verse 28, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I had nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things.'" Is that incredible or what? That is a manifestation of truth. So when I'm looking at this, now this is in the New King James Version. It might be something different in a different version, okay, like your NIV or Living or whatnot. When you look it up in another version, it will say, I am the one. Now he's literally talking to them like he is the Savior and he is God and he is the one to save them. But it literally is a twofold for me as well, meaning, you know that father you've always wanted? And he says, "I am he." He's saying, "I am the one." And that is a manifestation of truth. So it's twofolded there in that. So that is my example of manifestation of truth that is so intertwined within my spirit and within my soul. And so I just wanted to release that. It took me a little bit longer because of I wanted to share a little bit more of my testimony there at the end when I actually received them. And then they actually took us room too as well and prayed for us to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this was actually at a Kenneth Hagin ministry. Kenneth Hagin Ministries, yeah, back in, oh gosh, let me see. So like 34, almost 35 years ago. So, wow. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I remember that very distinctly. Remember that day very, very distinctly. So thank you, Jesus. Okay. So, here we go. 205-531. Good evening. Hello. I'm speaking to you. Where are you calling from? Hi.
Julia of Alabama.
Hey, Julia May. How are you?
Just fine. Just fine.
Good. Glad to hear it. So, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you. Okay, so let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for Julia May, God, who has come to your altar, God, and just, Lord, you would fill her up with your grace, Lord, as you see a cup filling up, a cup of refreshing and a cup of grace. And it says, the word says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a continuing filling. It's actually almost even a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I see a filling coming up again of grace, of refreshing and mm-hmm. of the Spirit, you're being filled up. So I thank you, Father God, that you would make this infilling complete within her, God, that you'd make a complete refreshing, God, complete your grace, Lord, that is a sufficiency, the grace that is sufficient, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for filling her to the fullness of your grace and of your word, Lord, and of your presence, God, and of your provisions, Father. We ask this now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, yes, I see what I was thinking. Yes. Well, okay. Hold on one second.
Yeah. Still hear me? Oh, I think she did say just a minute, but I wasn't sure if she was back. A couple silent moments. Mm-hmm.
Hey, sorry.
Hey, that's okay. So what do you guys going on today?
We're doing fine. But like I said, I didn't hear no good news from my sister-in-law there. You know, I have been praying for her daughter-in-law, my brother's son, which is her son also, wife, and she's the one that was on the ventilator, and they got to another hospital, I think, and they trying to wean off the ventilator because her kidneys had started to function some, her lungs open up, look at, I'm a woman, and they, unfortunately, they went out, but she won't wake up.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
She's 39 years. But they got to do a scan of her brain tomorrow. But they said she unfortunately had some many strokes and she got some fluid.
Oh,
so I'm calling.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. All of that, like all of those were complications because of the virus?
They said she didn't have the virus at the first hospital. She's a diabetic, and she had a cold, so she had pneumonia. Started off with bad pneumonia, and it was so bad with her lung that they put her in an induced coma, and they put her on the stomach, you know, inclined her, and then her kidney shut down, and then her, you know, the lungs are already bad. That's why they had on the tube, on the ventilator, and they wanted to take off the she's been in hospital maybe like 3 weeks. Then they wanted to go ahead and take off my nephew. He wouldn't let him take off the ventilator. He couldn't take it. And, you know, he's the only one that could do it. Her dad and mom can't do anything. You know, And so they kept on. So then y'all praying for her. So her kidney had started back working and her lung opened up some. So they shipped her from that hospital to another hospital, Cape Fear and Fail. And they put on a dialysis. They were saying that the other place didn't have a dialysis machine. I didn't understand that, but anyway. And she started, you know, doing a little better, so they started weaning her back some of the medicine, you know, so she can come out of it. But she won't wake up now, and then my sister-in-law couldn't understand, you know, about how did they know. So I guess they did some scanning, but they hadn't did the brain scan, that stem and all that yet. So they probably do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry.
Strokes and things. But I was telling my sister, I said, well, God is able. I said, the gentleman went through a lot. I said, she had double pneumonia and she had the virus and 30% oxygen. I said, they had to put a tube, feeding tube and a trach, and she aspirated. I said, so, hey.
Yeah.
I said, he's able. You know, she came out real fast, and she, you know, everything from her eating to breathing to her speech and to her physical therapy, they couldn't believe how she advanced so fast. So I told them, I said, hey, because she's been through a lot. And then came back and had, you know, pneumonia two more times. And plus, you know, she had a flu and her heart is weakened now. So, you know, I said, hey, he's actually been through all of that. And I thank God it's been a year now. You know, I thought about the other day, oh, she done made it her year. I said, years ago, Lord, she's at the hospital on a ventilator with the COVID and all that. And I said, then look how far you done brought her.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. That is incredible. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it's so tough for your sister-in-law. What's her name? We will definitely pray for her.
Denise.
Very rough.
Denise. Yeah, Denise.
Denise.
Spell it for me. I think it's D-E-N-N-I-S-E. I think she spelled it something like that. Denise. Because I had a sister-in-law named Jenny. I thought, okay, we got another Nisa, but they call her just Nisa. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, let's pray for her. Father, we just call upon your name and call upon your word, God, and your healing virtue, Lord. We pray in faith, Lord, coming to you, God, to your throne, God, and out of obedience. To your word, God, that we would pray, Lord, that we ask your ministering angels, God, to lay hands on her, God, and that we pray according to your word, Lord, that you would lift her up and bring forth your healing, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, touch her lungs, touch her brain, touch her heart, in Jesus' name, Lord, we ask for restoration. God, your word says in Colossians 1:20 that you restore all things, whether in heaven and on earth to you, God, according to your atoning blood and the power of the cross, God. So we ask that you would reconcile her physical body and physical health condition unto you, God. We ask this, Lord. We place it in your hands according to your word, Lord. And we thank you again, Lord. We're asking in faith and coming to agreement on her behalf, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and ask that you just release your healing virtue now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So good. So Jennifer's lungs are all good now? Has everything cleared up and they're taken care of?
Yes. Yeah, because the nurse going to come by tomorrow and, her lungs sound good. She done some, they've been checking her. She go back to her primary doctor Thursday for the month checkup, and then on the second, she go back to her heart doctor. So her weight is doing good. She down to 119 now. I said, Louie, come on, blow the baby away. Yeah, she went a long way down. Mm-hmm. But she's sounding good and all that. Mm-hmm.
Good. Well, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That's very wonderful and encouraging.
Yeah.
So thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Yes. So many people, you know, getting in the, I'm reading about the children, you know, at the schools, and they're getting out of this, looking at someone new about, they had a lady who unfortunately didn't make it. She passed, and they had her little baby behind her. She just had a baby, and we got some here now, a lot of, you know, mama. We lost two of them, and three of them lost their babies, and the rest, and they took some babies, and some of them, you know, they in intensive care, and they said they normally don't have that high risk, but they didn't get the shots because, you know, they were afraid for the baby. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, praying for them, too, because, you know, and like, you know, this stuff is, especially like in Alabama, it's high, and I saw it in Mississippi and also in Florida. So all the way around, the cases are going on real bad, and the schools are starting getting more cases also real bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my sister lives in North Carolina, and she was telling me that, well, we have other family that lives in North Carolina too, but she was telling me that the governor reannounced the mandate to wear masks again. Everywhere, anytime you're inside any building, you have to wear a mask. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I live in, we live in South Carolina, so our governor, because she was asking me what's going on in your state, even though we don't live very far from each other, literally. I mean, we could meet for lunch. I mean, that's how close we are. But but because it is state per state, you know, we were just having a conversation. But anyways, today I had to run up to get something at the vet, and my dog goes, I mean, yeah, my dog, the vet is in North Carolina. And so as soon as I got to the door, the sign was on the door, you know, you have to wear a mask. And I was like, oh, man, it's, thank goodness I still had one in my purse, because I said, oh, my goodness. I just thought of the whole conversation my sister had. So, yeah, that's a little nerve-wracking and unsettling that things are reversing. Yeah. Or seemingly so, you know, just hearing it. And I know we have, as of late, had in the last 2 to 3 weeks, a handful of friends that came down with COVID, and a few of them had to be hospitalized as well, and on oxygen, so very difficult, alarming, for certain, so thankful to the Lord, as we prayed in Psalm 116, that he does incline his ear and to our prayers, and we will call, you know, call on him as long as we live. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and the privilege for praying for you.
Okay, thank you, and have a blessed night.
Okay, you too, Julia May. Take care.
You too.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to our next caller. Is 903-918. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
This is Michelle from Texas.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. How is Texas doing these days?
Well, we've had a rise in the COVID in the schools, and the hospitals are pretty full.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, really? Okay. Now, is it COVID itself, or is it like one of the variants?
Is it both?
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, well, we definitely need to keep praying for our people and God's people. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. And let me pray and just lift you up to the Lord. Father, I just thank you for Michelle, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in her life, Lord. Excuse me, Father, I just lift her up to your, bring her to your altar of grace, God. Thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, God, for just speaking and showing me clearly, God, and even what I see, Lord, that you would give me the words to speak into it, Lord, and to discern and to interpret the pictures, Father. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that the even the word says the birds of the air snatch the seed away. God, I pray that the things that are embedded in her or and intended for her, that the enemy would not snatch them away in any way. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Lord, that they would be received by her in the soil of her heart, Lord, that they would take root, Lord, she would be rooted and grounded in the things of the Lord and even established. And the things of the Lord, Father. So I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for what you're building, God, because you are a building, God. You build the kingdom of God, and it's your heart to build us up and to build things, Father. So I thank you for that, in Jesus' name. And also sometimes, you know, like iron sharpens iron. Iron. And that is like for our benefit. with ongoing benefits. Yeah, let me look up that verse because that's kind of like, seven, 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens his face. His neighbor is almost, okay, hold on, that's not the verse. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That's how the verse goes. Okay, let me read that, and let me just read it in the Amplified for a second. Oh, okay. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through decisions. That's really good because there's the benefit. You know, while the iron is going to sharpen the iron, but the benefit of it is for that we can make better decisions. And we also can be a better influence to help other people be a better, and that is, okay, what I was seeing. I cannot put a picture to it, but that is, as I'm reading it, that I'm seeing that picture he showed me originally. So, yeah, I couldn't put words to that, but thank you, Lord. And then just back to, yeah, so thank you, Lord. Amen. So what do you got going on over there, Michelle?
Well, I've been a little under the weather.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was in the hospital.
Oh my goodness, what happened?
But I'm feeling better now.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. We can pray for you.
Yeah, I've just kind of been under attack.
Mhm.
With my health.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's pray for that then, Father. Yeah, and anything that's okay, so Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Michelle. God, we pray for covering over her physical body, God, that you would strengthen that. We pray for the blood of Jesus, Lord, to restore to her, Father, her health, God. We thank you, Lord, in Exodus, your word says, you are the Lord that healeth thee, Lord. And we just pray according to your word, Lord, in the New Testament as well, where it says, be healed and made whole, God, and you sent your word to heal us, God. And so we just release the word, be healed and made whole in Jesus' name unto Michelle, Father. We thank you for it, God, and that you would restore also, Lord, every seed, Lord, again, every seed that was imparted and embedded and intended for her, Father God, would return and would be produce a harvest, Father, and be fruitful for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know why if those words came back again, about embedded and intended. Embedded and intended. Yeah. So be it unto you. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So the enemy is trying to rob something?
Well, and it might have been like maybe you weren't ready to receive it yet, or you missed it, like you weren't ready, like you didn't receive it. I mean, that's happened to me before, you know, where the word will come about. And I mean, because actually when I got saved, I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, how come no one told me about this sooner? You know, why did I have to wait so long to, like, you know, experience this incredible relationship and your love for me, you know? Why didn't you tell me sooner? How come no one ever told me sooner? And then it was as if like a movie theater, click, 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 like the black and white thing was clicking. And I was all the people who shared Jesus with me and planted seeds. And I just wasn't ready for whatever reason. That seed didn't produce anything. You know, like it was either the bird or the air snatched it away, you know? You know, so like the seed was there, but then it got snatched away. It didn't take root. Maybe I wasn't ready. Maybe the enemy just stole it from me, knowing, you know, what it would produce, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, and then the iron sharpens iron. Actually, as I'm speaking about it now, or just so the influence, because of that and the Amplified, so Proverbs 27:17 and the Amplified, so one man sharpens and influences another through decision. I'm seeing those two things like rubbing up against each other, like the influence and the decision cause a little bit of friction, like when iron sharpens iron, but at the same time, the outcome of it is a good thing. Like the outcome is for a good thing and will always remain a good thing. And then you participate in both sides of it, you know, because iron sharpens iron. That means we have a participation in it, both to receive and to give. And just because it seems like there's maybe conflict or I don't even know if contention's not the right word, but it might seem like there's conflict or it's not being received, but it's actually like, you know, because iron, when the iron clashes up against the other iron, do you get what I'm saying? There's a little bit of friction, a little bit of, you know, something happening there, but it actually has a good effect on it and a good outcome. It produces something, you know, it's producing something. That's actually good for me to remember, too.
Amen.
It's like that cricket. Yeah, it's like the cricket. You know, the cricket, you know, the cricket, it makes that noise. You know, it's like that clashing of it's making that noise, but it actually can be very pleasant. It's producing something for us in nature and whatever it does for them. I don't know. I don't even know the reason why they, they make that noise, but it is a producing of something. And even the, and I see something like with prayer with that as well, you know, something, something with prayer in it too, like it's like the praying mantis. You know what? I don't know. Does the Lord speak to you sometimes in nature? Because those are a lot of nature words or, you know, like, symbolically things that came forth for you.
Yes, a lot of times he does speak to me through nature.
Okay, yeah, it seems like he would. So I would, just because, I mean, it just dawned on me, like all of those are very nature-oriented, even the seed and the, so I bet I would, like, even pay attention when you see a praying mantis. I don't know if you're going to, you know, be seeing one, but there's something, there's something there, and I don't know if it's in prayer that you have to kind of wrestle something out in order to get the Lord's influence and the Lord's decision, even if you're asking him for it, you know?
Okay.
Oh, one time I've seen a praying mantis. Unexpectedly, I went to the bank, the drive-thru, and put the little tube thing in the thing that you send it up in the air. And I looked over on the sign, and there was a praying mantis sitting on top of the sign on the bank. And I just happened to share it with somebody. I don't know what I said. I forgot. I didn't even know. I just thought, oh, that's, like, I was excited I seen one. And she was saying, like, I don't know, she just gave me a word about it. And I was like, oh, wow. But, like, when she said it, I was like, oh, wow, that, like, that settled somewhere in me that it was accurate, you know? And so attention to how the Lord speaks to you there too, like prophetically, like even just making note of, hey, I've seen this or I've seen that, and then wait for him to bring more to you. I guess, you know, the more probably could be even his influence and his decision, you know, and guiding you. So.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you so much for joining us. It's a kind of a privilege to pray for you.
Well, thank you for praying for me. And thank God for using you through the word.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Bless you.
God bless you too.
Thanks.
Have a blessed
Take
week.
Care. Thanks, you too. Okay, got another caller here. 803-991, good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from? Good evening, 803-991, prayer ministry this evening. Okay, they might have changed their mind. Or they might have walked away for a second. I don't know. So I'm thankful to the Lord tonight and all that he's doing. If you do want prayer, I might go to a song here, but if you would like prayer, you can dial in at 319-527-6027. So thank you so much for joining us, and God bless all of you and your service to the Lord. Okay. So the Lord is blessing us. He's showing us. You know how I usually find a dime? If anyone's heard me share this story before, when I begin to see a dime, the Lord, oh, he's speaking to me right now. That's so wild. I love when he does that. Like when I just start speaking for something and then he has this insight unlocks. Well, anyways, sometimes when I find a dime, the Lord is showing me that that increase is coming. And then he's also given me the assurance that there's tenfold return. And the tenfold return is, if you look on the back of a dime, there's three symbols back there. So there's like an oak leaf, the torch, and I think an olive branch. Okay, I think those are the three symbols, and they all have to do with something different, like strength, peace, and I think the torch is freedom. But the Lord showed me originally when I heard this. Let me go back to say this, because I've shared this so many times, and I'm not sure how many times here, but I shared it so many times. It seems like well, let me just bring everyone up to speed. Many years ago, a handful of years ago, I think, oh, wow, has it been that long? Maybe so. Anyways, I heard a message on a tenfold return, really anointed of God, really, really like wisdom and revelation were in it, tenfold return of God. And so at the time, it literally unlocked something of faith within me. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to sow into this tenfold return word that I had heard literally in the moment. I had $10 cash in my wallet. So I took out the $10 and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give, this is an easy way for me to mark, you know, in a measurable way, what you're doing. I believe this word and I'm sowing into it with $10. And this is a measurable because I'm going to give $10 to you. So I gave the $10, and literally this thing increased and increased and increased to hundreds and then thousands. Literally, it did. Okay, not over really necessarily a short period of time. It was a handful of months, but these things were connected, and it was snowballing. This seed snowballed, okay? Well, during the first week after I gave the $10, because it was a 10 and tenfold return, okay, I ended up in the middle of my driveway when I was walking to the mailbox, and it wasn't even in a place where we park our car or anybody else parks our car. And even if they did, it wouldn't have been like where the door opened up and it just fell out. It was literally in the middle of the driveway. I was walking to the mailbox. It was super hot, super sunny. I look and there's this super shiny dime on the driveway. You know, a lot of times I'll find a penny or whatever if I'm like on a really fun day, a quarter. Or a nickel or something. It's not very often I find dimes until this happened, okay? So then there was this dime, and I heard the Lord say to me, I was like, dang, that dime is shiny, and it looks new. I'm like, it totally had my attention. And so I heard the Lord say, pay attention when you pick it up, look at it and pay attention like to the symbols. Look at the symbols. So it was on tails, okay? And I looked at it, and then I realized there's three symbols on the back of it. So I looked up the three symbols, which I just shared, and the Lord told me that I was going to be having a tenfold increase on these symbols, a tenfold increase of strength, of freedom, and of peace. I was going to also receive. So it wasn't just financial, but it was this tenfold increase on these things as well. So a lot of times when I find a dime, or if a dime comes up, even with my children, I've shared this testimony before, one time when my children were receiving promotions at work and different types of increases or bonuses unexpectedly or raises or yada, yada, that they would find a dime or something connected to a dime to them, okay? And I literally have found one with all of my children. Well, today we were going out to we ran out to the store to do an errand. We were like, let's just go out to eat. You know, we can get back in time. And so we're getting out of the car, and my mother-in-law, it took her to dinner, my mother-in-law goes, pick that up. And I look, and there's a dime. And I didn't even see it, and I was out of the car first, okay? She goes, pick that up. And I said, what? And then I had to look, and I said, oh, my God, there's a dime. And the dime was on the tails. So when she found a dime, I said, this is weird that she found it. Like, I didn't say anything because couldn't even go into that story with her. But I was like, this is so weird she found this dime. And I thought when I picked it up, okay, I was the one that picked it up, and it was on tails. So it made me think some sort of increase is coming, but the Lord is reminding me of a tenfold strength. Freedom is mine as well, okay? And so she wanted the diamond. I was holding it, and I kind of got caught in her sweater, so we didn't have it until we got home, you know, because anyways, it's just a weird thing. It just dropped, and it was in her sleeve and her sweater. But anyways, I thought that was interesting, and I did think it was partly prophetic because of tonight being Tuesday and preparation. And, you know, maybe that has to do with a manifestation of truth as well, because, you know, it did start with truth. A manifestation of truth is going to have light with it and going to be a gift of God. It's going to be some sort of display of works. Yeah, so maybe that is a manifestation of truth. And that's what I was talking about earlier, 2 Corinthians 4:2. You can look that up for yourself, but these manifestations of truth is a little bit different than a revelation of divine truth. Well, that can be anointed as well, but there's a gift with light in it and the manifestation of truth. And and it's for a public display or a work. Act of conferring and an honor and presenting of a gift. Yeah, stations of truth. So even me touching on this and speaking about this is I believe there's going to be like even an unfolding of more manifestations of truth to the body of Christ. And it's going to be, I do believe it's going to be in his word. I do believe it's going to be corporate and see how it was attached to even the high priest, something priestly. About this and the word that we gave back and or the understanding that came forth back in May, earlier broadcast, like the 25th of May, when I was talking about the priesthood and restoring how we relate to God. And so anyway, so good, so good. Okay, let's have caller 402-214. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from? Oops, I'm sorry. It's a little bit jumbled. I can hardly hear you. I'm sorry. Who is this? 402?
Hi. I'm sorry, honey. Deborah, it's Sharon. Oh.
Sharon.
I was listening, but I had the phone lower, so I had to pick it up. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I seen you had your hand up, so great. Okay, Sharon from New York, is that right? Okay.
That's right.
Awesome. Okay, awesome. Thank you for joining us. Good to have you.
Thank you,
Lord. I just lift up Sharon to you, Father, in Jesus' name. God, we just thank you Lord, for the work that you're doing, and even the calling. I just see it. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for calling her, God, in Jesus' name, and setting that, you know, like the location, even of your calling, or like maybe the area. Sorry, no, the area of your calling. So we thank you for that, God, that you know that. And the area of her calling, God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. The area of her calling. Okay, so where that influence is, that's where your influence is, the area of your calling. And, you know, people say like they, well, like in the natural, there's that example of influence where you put a pebble or a stone in the water, and then wherever those rings, however many rings of influence, like it goes out. But I do see it in a type of,
right,
like, of your influence. Yeah. The calling and the area of your influence. I'm not even sure if I'm getting anything more. Father, I thank you, Lord, and I do not want to add to your word, Lord, but do you have anything more that you would like to say or display or to shine your light on behalf of Sharon, Father, on behalf of your daughter, Lord? Okay, now I'm just seeing for the understanding really of his words that he will shine his light. His light will shine on the area of your calling. So yeah, his light will shine. And I don't know if that's in reference to like that you will have that assurance, or you will know, because his light will be shining on that area. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, let's say it was preschoolers.
Right.
Like, let's just say it was preschoolers. That was your area of influence. Like, and you started working in that area, or you had been working in that area, that you see a lot of light. Like, you experience a lot of light, or you begin seeing a lot of light in that area, that you begin to think, oh, this is an area definitely that the Lord is using me in. And sometimes it may or may not be a place that you would necessarily choose. I can see now, like over the years that I've lived my life, the Lord has used me in areas that, I mean, one, I can bring order to chaos, and just gifted me in some ways to that. I do not like that.
That is a really big gift.
And then I can,
you know,
also, he also uses me, not that I can do it. He also, I see him use me in places of transition, when people are in transition. And that is either they're going out or they're coming in. Or like, you know, like it's this, some sort of transition is happening either in their ministry or in their life, in their workplace, in their, I sometimes he uses me there as well. So those aren't necessarily like defined in the Bible, like with certain words of gifts and callings. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's like somehow it's instilled through the purposes and the will of God for my life. That is the area of my calling. Those are areas of my calling where he'll lead me to that. And then, like, I will see light on it, and then I'm going to see progress. Like, it's going to be fruitful at some point, even though sometimes in my spirit.
How do you see light on it? Do you literally see light?
Okay, so, like, when I say light on it, yeah, like, I see God working. He's actually, a work is happening, and, like, progress is being made. And things are unlocking. So what I mean, like the light of truth, like where he says that he is the marvelous light. So there's truth on it, and God's ways are in it. The way of the Lord is working within the purpose and within the will. That's what I'm, more of a practical way to say his light is on it.
Oh, okay. I'm a very literal person. And God
no,
knows
I can
that.
Be too. No,
so he
no,
will
and
speak
I,
to me literally.
No, I can be literal too. I can be a literal finger too. So I'm glad that you asked, because it actually helped draw out of me a little bit more. And somebody else might have been wondering and curious as well. So you're probably helping somebody else, and it helps me to communicate better as well. So, no, I appreciate it.
Okay, I guess I'm calling. Yeah, I wondered what that is. What is it? I had something happen this evening. And, you know, that's kind of why I ran to you to call for prayer on
uh-huh.
it. Not knowing if it's good or bad. You know, when you have gifts, when you communicate with God, when you have a spiritual life, a lot of things happen, and somebody else might not understand it,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I mean, anyone who has a deep spiritual life knows that there's supernatural things that occur.
Right. Right.
And so I'm trying to discern what's going on tonight, I guess.
You
I'm
mean with something
negative.
That you mean with something that happened
yeah.
prior to you calling it? Oh, okay, got you. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you could pray about that for me.
Okay.
With me.
I mean, when you were a child, let me ask you this. When you were a child, did you discern things, and that, like, when you look back on it, you could discern it pretty, it was pretty accurate, even though no one, you didn't have the knowledge, you didn't have the intellect, but you discerned it, looking back, you discerned it fairly accurate, if not entirely accurate.
I've always been super sensitive, and
uh-huh.
It was actually the thing I hated about myself so much, but it was also the thing I loved about myself because I could tell what someone was feeling, and then I could
uh-huh.
help them.
Yeah.
But things always affected me, you know, really strongly. So I got my feelings hurt, things like that, you know.
Yeah, like you took that upon yourself.
Right, right.
Right.
And as far as the, you know, I mean, all the way back to probably 10, that I really remember, I saw things, I knew things, and gift of knowledge, where I actually saw, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
I would say
my aunt was going to die.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was really hard for me. I never had that before.
Yeah. Well, so I would say, without having to talk about the details, because we do have other callers to get to as well, but to pray about what you're asking. This gift has come to you by way of the Holy Spirit. And if you are born again, which you are, then that gift has been regenerated under his influence. Okay. And you can trust that gift. Now, the gift is from him. And when we're trying to discern, like yours has a lot to do with discernment or discerning, and even any other gift as well, any other gift, word of knowledge or whatnot, and always give
mm-hmm.
it back to the Lord. always give it back to the Lord, because he is the giver of the gift, and it's his gift, okay? So he knows
right.
how to teach us and train
right.
us to operate in this gift. So sometimes, you know, even though sometimes we might not have facts and there's things that we need to keep to ourselves or however
right.
it is that the Lord is teaching us, but sometimes I've said to the Lord before, Lord, between you and I'm not going to say anything else, but between you and I and what I've known, you know, what I've known you to do and how you to speak, I believe it's this. I'm going to pray and intercede this way, but I'm asking you to teach me, like, this is your gift. Just kind of putting it back on the Lord that it's his responsibility to teach us and to guide us. And that we're not, like, there's still this willingness to be yielded to this, to his voice and to his spirit. And I think that he actually likes that. And he will show us in his word. The Lord showed me and intercepted many times, you know, even through emails, even some email, like, titles, their headings, there's answers in there, or there's solutions,
right.
or there's helpful tools in there for me to learn and to initiate some of that. So certainly he can do that for you. And that this might even very well be part of your calling and an area that you have, you know.
Right.
So, Father.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so your area might be like your calling and area might be, it might not even be like necessarily, oh gosh, how do you say, like, permanent place. It's the area is actually, it could be if he's placed you in a certain area, you're going to pick up on that because
okay, you
of your calling.
Physically. Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
You mean physically? Mm-hmm. Like where
right.
I'm living?
As opposed, yes. As opposed, yes, right. But like if you're traveling and all of a sudden you pick up on something because you're in that area and your calling is, like, it could be a dual play on words. Do you get what I'm saying?
Got it.
So it's not
yeah.
just necessarily, not necessarily just in your city, but whatever area he has you in, you know, like it just could be a dual thing. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I thank
okay.
you for sharing, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your gifts and your callings, Lord, and manifestations of the Spirit, God. It is, as your word says, Lord, we read tonight in 1 Corinthians 12:7, God, that it is for the benefit of all. God, so we thank you, Lord, for this benefit that you've called in and through these manifestations of the Spirit, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, let there be a benefit to this, Father God. Let there be a benefit in the outcome, Father God, and that you would train and are continuing to train and to teach her spirit, God, to discern what you're saying, God. And I thank you, Lord, that she can hold on to things privately with you until you release the facts, that you release more to her, Father God, and to show her, God, so that she could know and be trained better for even the next situation, God, and to have that veil be thinner and thinner and thinner, God, and that her resistance even builds in the spirit, God, and knowing that it's not her own soul, God, that is participating or lacking or interfering or anything, that, Lord, it's your spirit teaching and training, and she is yielding to it, Father, and learning, Lord, to be effective, most effective, in and through this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deb. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks
bless you, too. Bye.
Than me. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, take care. Okay. Yeah. Okay. 910-709. Good evening.
Hi, this is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. Okay. Let's pray for you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Sylvia. Father, we just lift her up to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. So, what was that? Thank you for your altar. But I was seeing the crystal clear sea, like in Revelation, where it talks about the crystal clear sea. before his throne. Okay, so let me look this verse up and see if it's... Okay, so Revelation 21, Revelation, I'm thinking of when it was around the glorious radiant light, the brilliance of it resembled a rare and very precious jewel, like jasper shining in a clear as crystal. But hold on, I think it talks about, let me open up. I think it's Revelation 21. And Lord, please help me to know. Okay. Oh, okay. So the clear crystal sea is the washing away. The sea, okay, the sea in the water sometimes had to do with sin. But in Revelation, it's talking about, like, there will be no more sea. So, like, because in the New Jerusalem and in the New Earth, he's going to, there won't be that. There will be only the residing of those who love the Lord and want to serve him and do good. Okay. However, when I was seeing a clear crystal sea, it is, while it's yet there. Okay. Right. Cause we're still living. We're not in this, the second coming of Christ, the theological part of that verse, but we are, but the clear crystal sea is that the sin has been removed from the sea. And I don't know, I mean, just knowing, okay, that's what I've seen, was bringing it to the altar, but I've just seen the clear crystal sea. And I think, so the understanding of that and the in concordance with his word and being in context to his word is, and just knowing who you are and somewhat what you do is, I feel like, you know, if you're near the clear crystal sea, you are, and you can see that, like, and part of it, the clear, like the sea has to do with too, is I think even the body, like the Christ, a body of people, it's a body of water. Okay. Like a body of people. And you're seeing that and you're near it and it's crystal clear. Tells me even that you're participating in that and that you get to see that, which is the removal of sin, you know? And so somehow,
yes.
You know, you must be doing that. Like you are doing that, that you're so close to it, that you can see it. And, and participating in it, you know, just like, who was it? Was it Jacob or who was it who threw, he told him to throw the salt into the water and then the water. So there were those that participated with the water in the New Testament. Joshua, when he stepped into the water and then the seas parted, you know, whereas before when Moses went, or prior to when Moses went, the Lord parted the waters. They went up to the waters, he raised us, and the waters parted. But then when Joshua went, he actually had to take the step of faith. He actually had to actually do faith in action, you know, in a different way and step into the water, and then the waters were parted. So now you're standing at the sea of the water, and it's crystal clear, and the waters have to do with sin, but it's crystal clear. That tells me you have some sort of participation in clearing out the sin,
Okay.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah. But the crystal clear, see? Which is very nice, too, because it's not turbulent. The waters are not turbulent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So thank you, Lord. So sometimes I get more, sometimes I get less.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it sounds like something I've been doing.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
Very good. Okay. You take care. Love you. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Whoops. Caller 803-991. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Deborah. This is Angela, South Carolina.
Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay. I'm gonna go a little bit faster just because I have one other caller. 315, I do see you, and you will be next. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Angela, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just bring her to you, God, and lift her up to you, Father, and just stand before your throne of grace with her, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you know how to lead her, God, directly into your throne room, God, directly into your presence, Lord, directly into your provisions, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that leads her, guides her, directs her, God, that you are all-knowing, you are all-powerful, and that you are ever-present in her life. I really see an active participation with the Holy Spirit in and on your life. I even see like an amber color light and a warmth, which is like very welcoming. Some people are very, very much have like a friendship with the Holy Spirit and respect, really with the person of the Holy Spirit, with the very person of the Holy Spirit. And our faith engages that, which that's the part where I see like this amber light and the warmth is your faith engaging the work of the Holy Spirit, but it's also this Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you and it's also like, like with you and like upon you at, you know, sometimes. And so, Father, I just thank you. Very active role of the Holy Spirit in your life, okay? Even if it's unbeknownst to you, like, you know, when you're driving and it's really hot and you come up on a hill, like on the road, like on the blacktop or whatever, or even just the road, and it's so hot, you can see like the heat and the waves and the vapors, and they're like moving off the pavement, you know, but like if you were to stand in the midst of it, you wouldn't really necessarily see it like you can when you're driving up on the hill and you kind of can see the, just the vapors and the heat. Like I kind of see that is that the influence of the Holy Spirit is so close to you that you might not see it, but it's very active and its influence is very active in your life. So thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Do you have anything? Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you have anything specific we need to pray for? Or?
Nothing major right now. Just I'm thinking about a business, and I've been asking God about having a business where I won't have to work under anyone or have my own type of business, and you just give me some ideas or some guidance to where I'm also like an internet business, so I'm just asking him about that and just not sure which business I should go into. Like, I'm thinking about a home business, maybe something like, I heard maybe like a home furniture, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I just want to have an extra income. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. That's good. Okay, Lord, we just pray for Angela, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just come into agreement with her inquiry of you, Lord, and how you're directing her and guiding her, God. We just ask, Lord, that you would indeed, Holy Spirit, continue to lead her. God, we thank you for your word that says you give us the power to get wealth is in our hands. The power to get wealth is you've given it to us in our hands, God. And so I pray that you would prosper her hands, Father God, and her ways, Lord, as she commits them unto you, God, and trust in you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you would lead her, God, with the outcome, Father God, and we ask for the assurance and the confirmation, Lord, as she's saying, I'm not sure, God, that I pray that she would have the assurance from you and of the outcome, Father, and how she works, Lord, and that you would indeed bless the work of her hands, Lord, because even with the assurance and the direction, Lord, it does take hard work to prosper, God, and diligence, Lord, to prosper, Father God, so and consistency, God. So I thank you for her willingness to do that and her heart to do it, Father God, and I ask that you would bless it, Lord, that she would have the Father's blessing, Lord, and just to have the power of the Holy Spirit working through her, in and through it, Father, to prosper. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Well, I really do count it a privilege to pray for people, really, to come before the throne of God and just, I count it a privilege. I can't even say it any other way. Absolute that way. So 315254. Good evening. Where are you calling from?
Good evening.
Good
it's okay. It's Aunt Talise. I'm calling from Florida.
Aunt Talise. Okay. Florida. Nice to have you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Thank you, Father. Okay. Just a few minutes here. Thank you, Lord. We just pray for Aunt Elise, God, in Jesus' name. We pray for her, Father. We thank you for her place, Lord, in the body of Christ, Father God, that she is a part of the family, Father God, and that you've called her, Lord. And as your word says in Ephesians 3, that, God, your name is the name over every family, over every household, and that you've called her, God. And I thank you again, Lord, for her placement, God, and her service. To many in the body of the Christ, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, and that they would even see her and know her as a family member, God, that they would, you know, even declare that to her, that she feels like family, God, that's how well she loves, Lord, and that's how well she serves you, ultimately, God. And I thank you for that, God, that it would bring great encouragement, great strengthening, Lord, and in your word, Lord, where it says to encourage one another daily, God, and to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and, you know, thanksgiving, and to esteem one another more than the, to esteem one another higher, God, Father, so I thank you for it, Lord, and I thank you, God, for every verse that talks about one another, God, that I just bless her with that. I don't know if we've ever did a search on that or study on that, but and I haven't either, other than just thinking of it right now, but I feel like you have a lot of the characteristics, and the virtues that you would just have been, like imparted, imprinted upon you by the Holy Spirit and the nature of God. To be that one another to another person, you know, and it's very, very intricate part of, because who witnessed to, Billy Graham, right? Who witnessed to, who gave, you know, such and such a Bible? Who was the person who actually did it in that? And that was that like hinge in the door or that handle on the door. That was that one connection point. That person had, you know, like who was the person who shared with me, right? It was one person. Who was the person who shared with you? I mean, that literally gets that part where they unlock the door and that's my connection point where I can go back and say, yes, Jan was my person who witnessed and was very instrumental in saving me you know, and those that bring you encouragement and lift up your faith and bring strength to you will speak the truth in love to you, and with grace and love, you know, and just always stay there like, hey, you, if you choose that, you know, if I'm telling you this, here's my wisdom, here's my counsel, whatever, you know, but if you choose this other thing, I'm still here for you. I want you to know that, you know, like you're not going to just turn book and run and be peeved because they don't choose the, I mean, it's very family oriented, your heart and the connection and being knit one to another. Again, I would just encourage you because those things are coming up, the one to another verses are just coming to my mind, but I would look those up because I would venture to say you do many of those things and that the Holy Spirit, it would be my hope that the Holy Spirit would even bring to your remembrance when and how you did these things. Like, what does this look like in real life? When I first started reading the Bible, because I am a very, like, visual person, and, like, I'm a visual, I mean, even as a child, I was a visual learner, is that I would say when I was reading the Bible and I was reading, like, the book of Acts, and I would say sometimes to the Lord, I would just stop and I would say, what would I would have done? Like, if I would have walked in that, I would try to picture that passage, you know, like maybe Jesus on the hill, or like when Paul was preaching and that man fell from the window and then Paul jumped on him and breathed into him and gave him life. And some of the, especially in the book of Acts, I think, now if I was there, what would I have thought, like had I known this, watched this happening, what would I have done? What would I have seen? What would I have? And so, and then the Lord just started to show me some different stuff. Like he used to just speak into that picture and show me different truths or bring me further into that, you know? And so I would just begin even asking the Lord, looking those up and then asking, like, what does it look like for me to knit, be knit together in love? What does that look like? Or how has that seen? Because sometimes the verbiage, like the way that it's stated and the way that we read it, as opposed to living it out and the truth of it can look so different, you know, like, hey, that's really this. And I'm actually doing that. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and even Ephesians 3, talking about the family of God. And I would encourage you, too, to read that in the Amplified Version, because we experience God's love even through, even in and through, the depths of his love through our personality, even to the core and weaved through our personality, that that even affects people. The love of God and even our own personality can affect people for the kingdom of God and in the family of God. And for you to know as well, because when you know, and our listeners, and when I know, the height, the length, the depth, and the width, and the love of God, we speak out of it. And because when we experience it, then we, everything we do flows from out of that. And yours is very much, I see an intricate part in the family of God.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you. Well, it's good to hear your voice, and thank you again for letting me pray for you.
Well, thank you for praying for me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, God bless.
Now, have a good night.
Thanks, you too. Okay. Bye. Bye. Thank you, everyone. Shalom to your homes. I do need to end. So thank you again. Enjoyed this evening.